the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All four Gospels talk about the resurrection. All four have angels in them. All four talk about the women going to the tomb early. Some have soldiers, some do not. All talk about the stone being rolled away. But there's only one place that the two most significant words that were ever written are in, is in the Gospel of Mark. Do you know what those two words are? And Peter. The angel said to the women, "Tell my disciples and Peter." Now, Peter was one of the disciples, and he wasn't even the closest person to Jesus. That was the beloved disciple. Peter was not that person. Why did the angel signal out, "Peter, say to the disciples and Peter"? I have to tell you, first of all, that this gospel, the Gospel of Mark, was the first gospel written, and Mark was a disciple of Peter. So he heard these words right from Peter's mouth. Peter told him about Jesus, told him about his life with Christ, and told him these words. You know about Peter? Peter was kind of the leader of the group by default. I think it was by virtue of his boisterous personality. If anyone needed something, they would go to Peter because he was the can-do kind of guy, very gruff fisherman. Peter was also very brave. When Jesus was walking on the water, Peter thought, "Wow, that's a great idea. I'll come out to him." No other disciple was going to do that. Peter was the one who would speak for Christ. Peter was the one who would chat with Jesus. He even had the nerve one time when Jesus said something that he didn't like to pull him aside and say, "You can't talk like that." Peter was a brave man, except when he really needed to be. When Jesus needed him the most, he fell down on the job spectacularly. Remember the story? He had promised Jesus. He said, "I don't care if everybody leaves your side, I'm going to stay with you." And when Jesus was arrested, Peter actually went as close as he could to see what was going to happen to Jesus. And somebody came and looked at Peter and said, "Aren't you one of the disciples?" Now, this wasn't a soldier. This wasn't an official who could arrest him. This was just a little maid girl said, I think you're one of his followers. And Peter became a coward at that moment. He not only said, "I don't know him," he started to curse and say, "I really don't know him. I've never met the man. I don't know what you're talking about." And as soon as he finished his denial of his friend, the Bible says that the rooster crowed. Jesus had predicted that. He said, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to do this." And of course, Peter said, "No, I'd never do that." Now, there were a lot of roosters in that place. Can you imagine every time that darn bird crowed? It would bring Peter back to his colossal failure. He had failed his friend at the very moment his friend needed him the most. And so when the angel is giving her his or her report, said, Jesus said, "Go to my disciples and Peter," as if to say to Peter, "It's all right." And he doesn't go on to say, "Tell them I'm alive." What he says is, "Tell them I'm going before them into the city, and you'll see me there." And Peter means that even when we are colossal failures, Christ trusts us enough to dust us off and bring us on the way and lead us with his message. He trusted Peter enough. He didn't say, tell Peter that wretch, tell Peter that denier, tell Peter the one who disappointed me that I'm going on the way. He said, tell Peter and Peter. Now, can you imagine being Peter, having denied Jesus, finding out he was alive? Would you have had the nerve to face him? I know I wouldn't. I would have slunked away in a corner because I knew what I had done. But to hear him say, include Peter in the list, would have given me hope. The resurrection is about the mercy of God. The mercy of God that extends to all of us. That even when we fail, he trusts us enough with his message. If you've lived long enough, you're going to fail. If you've lived long enough, you're going to make a mistake. If you've lived long enough, you're going to say something comes out of your mouth that you wish you could stuff back in. If you've lived long enough, you're going to fail a family member or a friend that really needs you. We're wired that way. And any time that happens, I want you to look at that scripture, and instead of saying, and Peter, put your name in there. And say, and Dawn, tell her I'm going before her. Tell the disciples and Mary, I'm going before her. Tell the disciples and John, I'm going before her. Anyone who has failed can look at that scripture verse and understand that there's a second chance. That's the grace we're given. And that's also the grace that we need to extend to people who have failed us. This particular scripture came home to me several months ago, and it was a story that came out of Door County. There was a young man who had come to Door County every year to work, and he loved his work. He was a delightful young man, full of promise, and very bright, had good possibilities, was a college graduate, and he had a lot of friends here in Door County. He got married, had some children, seemed to be going on the right path, and then his wife died of cancer. And that unhinged him. And he started down a very destructive path. He descended into addictions. He married again, and the second wife died, kind of like the first wife. He became so unhinged that he left family and friends. One of his family members, one of the daughters, completely disowned him because she was so disappointed and she was so tired of being disappointed by her father. His life spiraled out of control for several decades. But then he wanted to have one last chance, so he came back to Door County. Now, his friends knew the story. They knew how destructive his life had been. And rather than say to him, you're a failure, he went and contacted his friends and said, I'm coming back to the area. I want to get work. I want to start my life over. The friends gave him a place to stay. The friends greeted him with open arms. They started to line up job possibilities for him and invited him over for dinner. They were just so thrilled to see him. What they didn't know was that they were preparing him for resurrection, because within the first couple of weeks that he was here, he passed on. He passed on in peace and in security, because his friends gave him grace. That's the meaning of and Peter. When people fail us and we still give them grace. What a wonderful Savior we have. Every time we are failures, we can come to him and we can be restored and be entrusted with this wonderful gift of grace. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that that your life is so evident in this room today. I thank you that even when we have failed miserably, we can substitute Peter's name for ours.